There's nothing worth more that can never come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Taste it and see of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come find this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory guides what our hearts long for.
Seats. And if you have your Bible, we'll go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 15. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again with you. We're going to continue on with obeying the voice of the angel. We'll have a subtitle today, and I guess we'll have subtitles on them as we go. But we're going to talk about Christmas today. And we're going to call this Christmas a day of worship. Amen. Really felt, really feel compelled to, in this series of going back and saying, obey the voice of the angel, to go back and make sure that we cover a lot of the things that he has said that I think a lot of message people miss and so forth. But so you just pray for me as the Lord moves in that direction. So Matthew chapter 15, we'll begin reading at verse 1. So then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And now I want to go to Mark chapter 7, and we're going to read the same, pretty much the same account, but Mark says it in a different way a little bit, makes a few comments I thought would be good for us to read. So Mark chapter 5, or chapter 7, we begin reading at verse 5 and go to the 13th verse. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he saith unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such like things do ye. And now I want to go to Revelation chapter 18 to Bible readers, Bible students. All of these scriptures are very familiar to us. Some of these scriptures really magnified for our day because we're living in the day where they're fulfilled. This is one of them right here. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And this is the ministry of William Branham. He came from heaven, from the midst of the word. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Amen? Let's bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to invite you here into this place, Lord, that you just let your Holy Spirit come down and just fill every heart this morning, Lord, that you would move any obstacles out of the way that would hinder thy word this morning, coming forth and being received and being comprehended in a spiritual way, Lord. We ask, God, that you just put your anointing upon this service and help your children, Lord, just to sit in heavenly places. We know, Lord, that's the place where that their life will have victory in greater levels, and we just pray, God, that you would just speak to us this morning. Each one of us present ourselves to you this morning as trophies of your grace, asking, God, that you would use us and come and live and work through us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. How many would like to have revival in your life?
Amen.
Amen. I believe a Christian should be crying for that continually. And I mentioned last week, and I'll say it maybe in different words now, a little bit more detail, but a prophet is a divine interpreter of the word.
Right.
I'm talking about a prophet like Brother Branham. He's a divine interpreter of the word. God will interpret his own word by bringing it to pass, but he will send a prophet in a prophet's life and ministry. God will show and prove things through his life. And when that man is on the scene, and if there's a scripture that has a question about it, whatever, if that ministry addresses that scripture, then you can take what he says about that scripture to the bank. And so to understand that in our day, with that authority has been among us, then when we have a question about something and we go to that angel's voice and see what he had to say, that is you can take to the bank. Yep. And so then we have to just change all of our thinking to come around so that we might look at this and understand it the way that he has presented it. And so, it kind of always seemed harsh, people say, to say, you don't have a thought coming. But we don't.
Right.
See? Because we're not thought generators when it comes to God's thoughts. God has his own word. He spoke it. He channels it. He brings it the way. And that's what we're to receive.
That's right.
We don't want to generate our own thoughts. We want his word to be what we live by and what we receive. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. And so, when Brother Branham comes along and he addresses things, then we need to put great emphasis on that and make sure that our understanding of and way we walk agrees with what he presented.
Right.
And so we find out that Brother Branham, in his life, when he was thinking about revival, he'd come along and he saw something that to him was a parallel of how he could describe what revival is. And this is what I mentioned last week. Brother Branham was talking about being up there on the shores of one of the great lakes, and he was seeing all the water, just wind blowing and all the water just moving about. And he said it was throwing all that trash out of the water, throwing the trash out on the bank.
Right.
And Brother Branham said, well, that's interesting. He said, on a calm day, there's the same amount of water in that lake as there was when it was all windy. Mm-hmm. And it was just there. It was just sitting there, same amount of water, but it had trash in it.
Yeah.
And so then the wind come along, or whatever it was that comes along, and had the water just moving about, and it throws and all that trash out on the bank and cleanses the trash out of there. And Brother Ram said, that's revival.
Yeah.
See? Now here's our interpretation of what revival is.
Right.
Okay? Because revival isn't something like, I think that a lot of people are like, Revival is when I really feel good. I really feel good in service, and I got a shout and so forth. But our revival is to the Word of God,
Amen.
To the revealed Word of the hour, because that's where our victory is going to come. It's not going to come because we got a shout, because the Pentecostals can shout.
Right.
It's not because we have this or we have that, because many others have those things. But it's going to be when we are quickened to the revealed Word of the hour. And when that begins to lodge down inside and you begin to soar with your wings in that, that's where you have victory. That's where you have revival. And the revival we want isn't just to make us feel good. We want something that's going to send us sailing out of here in a rapture. That's what we want.
Amen.
We want something to make us very effective while we're here and then take us on out in a rapture. And so, we have, if you're a Christian, you've got what it takes there. It just has to be stirred up. Your own experience has to be stirred so that the trash that's in your life, the things that hinder that's in your life, the things that would make your experience not clean, has to be stirred up and cast out of the bank, right? Right? And so the scriptures talk about every wind of doctrine, see? So doctrine, teachings, preachings of the word is a wind to stir you up, right? So it's the word that's going to stir you and cleanse your life of those things that needs to be cleansed out of there so that you can walk with God in a greater way, right?
Right.
And so it's you know, we have plenty of word available to us, see? But it's what you do and how you respond and when you leave from the house of God and you finish this and say, take what you do about what you've heard.
Right.
Makes everything, all the difference in the world. And so we want revival. And you know what? I was reading, Brother Branham was talking, and he said, you know, a lot of people want tongues. They say, I want the Holy Ghost, and what they're looking for is tongues.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, you can have like a shoe. Mm-hmm. You can have the tongue out of a shoe, but you don't have the shoe.
Right.
But if you get the shoe comes with a tongue.
Yeah.
Right? And so we want the full experience of God and a full revival of the word. And listen, brother, sister, if you're liberated, you're going to have a shout. You're going to have a joy. You're going to have purpose in your step, right?
Right.
But it don't come by some manufactured something like it. It comes by a real experience. It might for the rest of the world, but for us, it comes from that revealed word becoming resident in our lives where we know that we possess something that's given us victory over our enemies day in and day out.
Right.
That's the cry of my heart. I can tell you Brother Daniel feels the same way. That's the cry of a minister's heart is to get this word to you so that you see this that we're interested in you seeing. And so I'll open up with what I want to go here by reading a quote we're real familiar with, and this is out of the Church Age book. And by the way, I do believe that Brother Rand put his emphasis on that Church Age book, even though a lot of people say that it's Brother Bale's book.
Yeah.
Brother Brown wrote the first check for the first printing of those books. And in his audio letter to Lee Vail, giving Lee Vail the corrections that he wanted in that book, right? And he didn't want it to be Brother Lee Vail's book, so he corrected Lee Vail where he needed to be. And then when it was done and he was proofreading, and his daughter said they'd be going down the road and she'd read something, he'd have her go back and read it over and over several times. Right? So I believe it's just as much truth as anything else that we hear on tape.
Right.
It just happens to be edited where you can give it to somebody and they understand. But this is a quote that we're all familiar with. Where Brother Branham says, talking about Satan, he says he knows that if the people can get a true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the church, and you know he's talking about the Holy Spirit and the Antichrist, or the Antichrist spirit.
Yeah.
So if they can get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of church, Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will become powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Amen? And so you find out from this thing, and I believe this to be very, very much true, this quote, is it's true. If we can get the revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. And so our job as Christians in this day is to do exactly that, to discern, right? To discern the two spirits, discern that sitting right among Christian churches is the Antichrist spirit. How are you going to know he's different? You got to discern it. How are you going to do it? Well, Brother Branham made it very clear. He always had to go back to the Word, because he's got to get off the Word somewhere, or else he'd be Christ.
Right.
So he has to get off the Word. So we have to. Our job is to discern and to withstand. So you got to see your enemy before you can withstand him.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the Word does. The Word allows us to see that devil, even though he might be among the Christian churches, even though he might be in message churches,
right,
even though he might be well alive and well and working in the lives of some message so-called people by their actions and the things they do. But to be able to see that, discern that, recognize it's the devil, and then withstand it. By the Spirit of God, withstand those things. What does that mean? What does it mean? What that means is that work of that enemy has no effect on you.
Right.
Because he said we would come to that place when she understands that Satan will be powerless before her. That means his deception can't get to you.
Right.
Whatever he wants to do, it won't work on you. Why? Because you see him for what he is, and you have the Spirit of God in you to withstand that. That means you're not falling for his tricks. You're not going to go down the roads that he wants you to go down.
Yes.
Does everybody agree?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what he's talking about. So it's pretty simple like that. But that's something in our day, that's what our walk is all about right now, is to catch what's going on under the light of the Word to tutor us, catch what's going on, and resist everything that Satan tries to put against us. So there won't be anything that the devil can pull over on you.
That's right.
Right? When we hit this spot, not one thing, not one lie, not one trick, not one power that he has will have effect on you, says the prophet. Okay? And we know that to be true because why? Because that's exactly the way it was with our Lord.
Yeah.
When he was here, he didn't paddle in the boat of that nonsense.
Right.
See, and his bride is ordained at the end time to come to that position where she's flesh of his flesh, bone in his bone, and the Word was made flesh.
Yeah.
So she'll be the Word, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, and she'll be equal stature with Jesus Christ. So what he wants to do in this day, he will not have one limit in her. He'll be able to do and act out anything he wants to do and act out through her, and she will not resist one bit.
Right.
Because she's come to that place.
Uh-huh.
But as long as Satan has her tricked somewhere, then there's going to be some manifestation she's going to do that's going to be wrong. There's going to be some limit the Holy Spirit has, because there's some portion of the Word that she's believing that's wrong, that she's not believing because of a lie.
Yeah, right?
And so God lives in his Word, and so if some of his Word is limited, then, you know, right? So, for instance, if this is part of the Word and it's paralyzed, well, if I have a desire to raise my arm, can I? No, because it won't move.
Right?
So he wants the church to be a full-fledged body so that no matter how he wants to move and work and act, he can do it today. And she's a masterpiece of just like he was.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. This is what the message came to. And so that's what it means to be able to discern and withstand, is to come to that position where his tricks ain't going to work no more. Mm-hmm. Well, we know in the scriptures that God is the source of, he's the author of life. He's the creator, the giver of every good gift, and so forth. And, you know, we come from him. And so you realize that through the plan of redemption, that his desire was to reveal himself to us. And in reality, what he's doing, as he reveals himself to us, and we are partakers and believers and receivers of that, he actually is revealing himself through us. That by receiving his revelation as he brings it forth, we become him. So that all the way down here at the end time, the Spirit and the bride say, come, because they've become one in unity. So this is the whole plan. So God chose that throughout the ages he began to unfold himself, and every time he's unfolding himself, he had a people there to either believe it or reject it. And while there were believers there were scoffers, there was resistance, there was always persecution, but nevertheless, God always had somebody that would receive that unfolding for that hour, even though it was many times in mystery form and only revealed in true understanding like we have today. So it's the same thing, comes all the way down, and here we are in this hour that God wants to reveal himself to us, which in essence makes it through us, but there's always opposition. But we just found out that once we find that position of discernment and withstanding, that everything Satan tries to hinder that expression of God from coming forth in us, it's not going to happen. We're going to be overcomers to him. And so you see, God is, everything comes from him, and he is life. So anything that rises up that hinders that, because he's life, and in unfolding himself to you, revealing himself to you, which actually makes you partaker of him, communion is to commune with him, become one of, right? So as he wants to reveal himself to you, you are partaking of life. You're receiving eternal life. That's how it's all measured out there. And so anything that would get in the way of keeping you from that revelation of Jesus Christ, in his eyes, that's something that's taken life from you. Because his whole process is to bring himself to you. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the light of men, right? He's going to come to you, and he wants you, he loves you, and he wants you to have that. And that's the only way you'll be there is to have him, because he's the only form of eternal life. So anything that would get in the way of him revealing himself to you, he considers that as something trying to take life from you. And if somebody came in here trying to take life from one of you right now, what do you think I'd do about it? What do you think these other brothers do about it? So God has no choice but to count anything that wants to come against the revelation of himself to his people, to count that as enemy and address it as such. He has no choice to do anything but that. Right? Because we're the same way. So, if somebody comes along and says, well, now he's not really one God, he's three. That's an enemy. Right? So if he says, now this is the way I want you to live, if somebody comes along and says, well, that's not really why he wants it, that's an enemy. Right? If he said, I'll come at the end time and reveal myself through a prophetic ministry, if something comes along and says, oh, no, that's not so, that's an enemy. Why? Anything that opposes the revelation of God and what he's working through and doing, anything that opposes the lifestyle that he wants us to live, what he's promoted in his word, anything that opposes that has to be counted as an enemy. Yeah. And it's all because he loves you and wants you to be partakers of him. Right? But Satan is jealous, and Satan, he wants to be your anointing. Yeah. He wants to be the mediator. Uh-huh. Right? He don't want you having connection with God. And so he comes along and tries to trick you. So we find out here in the opening scriptures that these Pharisees and Sadducees, now remember, there they crucified him, Brother Bram said. There, in the most holy place, they, the most holy people, crucified the most horrible death, him, the most righteous one ever was. Right? That's a tremendous scripture statement there. But it's true. There, they, most holy people, right? And yet we find out that when he came and was manifested before them, they resisted him. They didn't recognize who he was. They came to him and they challenged him, because here he was, a ministry that was getting a following and had disciples and so forth. And they were offended because he was not teaching and not carrying out, and his disciples were not carrying out, the traditions of the elders. Right? So we just read it. And so you find out that this holy people, most holy people in the world, though they the most holy people, and shove a pin right through the scrolls and they could tell you every word that it passed through, right? Even though they were like that, they had somewhere drifted off the word in such a place that they had made traditions that actually was making the commandments of God of none effect.
Right.
Says the scriptures. You know, people will say they don't believe what we believe because we believe in a prophet. Okay, we'll lay him over the side. It's just scriptures right there.
Yeah.
They had traditions that they had come up with themselves. Somehow that they'd come up with, there's a lot I could say there, we'd be here, but I'm not going to get on that rabbit trail, but they had come up with traditions, and in the keeping of the traditions, in order to do it, they had to kick the word of God and the commandments of God to the side in order to do that.
Yeah, right.
See, if what they was keeping, because you know, there are traditions that are from the word of God that we are given, and that's correct,
right?
But you see, they had come up with traditions, and if their traditions would have been identical to the word of God, it wouldn't be man's traditions, it'd be God's. But they had come up with traditions, and the only way they could come up with what they came up with was to push the word of God aside. So what's happening here? Remember what we said a while ago? Anything that tries to hinder the revelation of God. So when Satan comes along and presents something, you can count on it. There's some way, somehow, he's trying to water down the revelation of Jesus Christ, that he's trying to get in there and put a stop of that life coming into you. It's, I don't care what it is. If it's not the word, then it's Satan trying to get in there and short-circuit that plan of God. Right? And so these Pharisees, Sadducees, that come up with something, and what they came up with, they had to push the word of God aside. So you know that by that happening, it's another image they're trying to present. It's another Christ they're trying to get people to, even though they think they're worshiping the true God. Satan had moved in and tricked them, and they simply were tricked because now they're standing for man's traditions rather than the word of God. Instead of staying with the word, they'd got off the word and was all kinds of traditions and had enough boldness, enough gall to come up to Jesus and begin to confront him because he wasn't doing the same thing they were. That's what happened. And Jesus said, "You are worshiping God in vain." You know what it means to be in vain? What you're doing isn't counting. God's not recognizing it.
Right.
It's in vain. What's in vain? Your worship's in vain. Why is it in vain? Because you are trying to do this through commandments of or traditions of man rather than the word of God, rather than the commandments of God. You're chasing after this. You're pushing this as doctrine. You're teaching for doctrine. Your commandments of man or your traditions of man. You're doing this instead of staying with the word. And so these people, as holy, as righteous or whatever as they were, had drifted off to such a place that they actually believed they were doing what was right and began to dispute with Jesus because he wasn't and his disciples weren't doing what they thought he should. And he said, "It's all vain by your traditions." Traditions they'd come up with. Vain worship. And so, you know that can still happen today? We know that. So, I'm going to, remember we're talking about the angel's voice. So we're going to be talking about Christmas today, but I've laid the foundation about tradition. And so, I want to read this quote. It's from the Patmos Vision. This is not Church Age book, but this is the sermon, the Patmos Vision. Brother Branham said it was right at Christmas time. It was the fourth day of December, 1960. And I'll be quoting, I'll try to, but if you ever want to know if I'm quoting something, you want to know where it's at, just ask me. But I'll try to tell you, because remember, I want you to know what this angel had to say. Because you're responsible. Right? You're responsible for what he said, I mean, to tally up what he said. And if your experience is really of God, it will. Right? That's sounds harsh, but it's the truth, because the Holy Spirit cannot be contrary to His own word. And when God chose to unfold Himself the way He did, He's not going to deny it. Okay? So Brother Brim says, here in a few weeks, or even right now, there's reindeers and Santa Claus and jingle bells and all kinds of things hanging up, which is pagan ceremony. It's an article of the Catholic Church. People paying great prices, swapping gifts and things like that. Pagan. Christmas is a day of worship. And by the way, Christ wasn't born the 25th day of December either. He couldn't have been. If you've ever been in Judea, the hills are full of snow, worse than it is here. I'm at, in America, and there in Jeffersonville. He's born in April, when all nature comes forth. Now, but it's their tradition. Talking about Christmas. He wasn't born in December, right? He's born in April, and when all nature comes forth. But it's their tradition. And we know the Catholic Church says it's not what the word is, it's what the church is. So if the church wants to change something, they can do it. That's the way they tell it. Isn't it interesting? Every time I have a dispute with somebody, they have to get off the word in order to dispute. Right? The Catholic Church has to get off the Bible to come up with the stuff they come up with. Right? So it's their tradition. And Brother Brennan said, and why do we do these things? He said, because we follow the traditions of men instead of the commandments of God. Think about it. And why do we do this? Why do we have this Christmas and all? It's a Catholic thing. Why do we do that? He said, because we're following after the traditions of man more than the commandments of God. So he tied this right to the very scriptures we were reading right there of what them people did, them holy, righteous people did so many years ago. He tied it to that. And so, he said, so then something like that wouldn't matter, but they just make it a commercial day out of it. And it's a disgrace, a shame for them to do such a thing as that, a pagan ceremony. When did Santa Claus have anything to do with Jesus? When did he? Brother Tim, thank you for the song. Santa Claus, when did he have anything to do with Jesus? When did Easter rabbits or chickens colored up with some kind of ink or something, or some kind of little white rabbit, have anything to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He said, don't you see how the commercial world, that's the reason, he's tying it here, saying, see in the commercial world, right? And we read there in a little bit, we'll talk about how the merchants of the earth have been made rich, okay? Rich with all the goods they sell because of holidays and things that they do, but it goes into more than that. But he said, don't you see how the commercial world, and he stops, he said, that's the reason they sell these old rock and roll books and dirty pictures and vulgar and things like that. It's because the nature of people crave for such nonsense. It's because there's something wrong in the heart. They've never entered into that rest with God and cease from these things. When they come into that and receive the Holy Ghost, then they're finished with the world and the things of the world. Now, he said that, not me. I'm just repeating him, right? Say what's on tape, right? Put the prophet back in the pulpit. I'm putting him right there, right? Jesus said, whosoever he sends, you know, if you they receive you, they receive me, okay? So I'm telling you, and you receive what I'm saying, you're receiving Brother Bram, you should be Brother Bram, you're receiving Jesus Christ, you receive Jesus Christ, you're receiving Almighty God. Right. Okay? Right. So he says it. And so it's a pagan holiday, pagan tradition. It wasn't, it is Christmas, it is not a Christian holiday. Right. And I'm going to say this. if you go back to the time before the Catholic Church started this thing and look at the church, you're not going to find the Christian church celebrating in December.
That's right.
You're not going to find that. So this was not, this was Roman generated, where they took and were, and you'll find Brother Bram saying this, but Rome decided they want to be Christian. Remember, pagan Rome, the head was wounded to death, but then it was revived, and that was pagan Rome that was crumbling, but they moved into papal Rome, a papacy. They decided they wanted to be Christian without a new birth. So now they're going to be Christian, and now they want the whole world to come into it, and the pagans don't want nothing to do with it, so they got to figure out a way through politics and through persuasion to get all the pagans who have all these pagan rituals of different sorts to bring them over into Christianity, so they generate all kinds of holidays that has these things that the pagans were doing, and they just kind of morphed it together and made these holidays out of it. And so Christmas, you find out that the Romans, they would absolutely, they had this time about the 21st of December to the 25th or 6th or whatever, the time when the sun goes all the way down there and it stops going south and then it's fixing to start coming back. But for a few days, it's kind of right there, not going further away and not coming back. It's right at that, and they, what they call it, solstice or whatever it is. I can't remember. But right as that, so the sun is in its weakness. And they had sun god. They worshiped the sun god. He's in his weakness, and now he's coming back in strength. He's being birthed. So they had this ritual called the sun god's birthday. And they had these festivals and things and so forth. And so in this merging together, they just called it the son of God's birthday. He wasn't born in December. So it's just a conglomeration of Babylon. They're bringing all kinds of stuff together and making a tradition of man, something that man has done, not a commandment from God. Tell me, where does it say to do this in the scriptures? It doesn't. So this was a Roman thing that was created, and so it's a Roman tradition that was happened there, and so it was not a Christian holiday that was already there. And they brought stuff over in and kind of, there wasn't even a Christian holiday. This was Roman and pagan things that were there that they made supposedly some Christian event out of it. Everybody follow me?
Right.
So remember, the Catholic Church, they have no foundation. The bottomless pit. There's no word to establish what they believe on. Please tell me, purgatory? Is that in the Bible? Saints interceding for you? Is that in the Bible? Tell me, what is it that they believe that's got Bible foundation? Not a thing, and yet they rule the world. Something wrong somewhere. Something's wrong somewhere. Now remember, she got daughters, which Brother Bram tells us was the Protestant churches. And so, it's not a Christian holiday. It's a pagan holiday. It's a pagan thing that they set up. Roman traditions. So, we'll read another quote. This comes from Question and Answers. And this was Question and Answers, 1957. October 6th. Brother Bram says, he's talking about these two prophets in Revelation 11 that's going to be killed. Remember, the beast system rise up and go kill them. He says, when finally they kill these two prophets and they lay in the streets, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where our Lord was crucified, they send gifts one to another. The world does. Now, Brother Palmer, here you are. Look back into Roman history and you'll find out that there's only one nation in the world that ever sent gifts after a battle, and that's the Roman Empire. That's the reason I say the Antichrist comes out of Rome. It can't come out of Moscow. It comes from Rome. The red dragon that stood at the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born, that devil, where was that devil? Who was it? Caesar Augustus that sent forth and killed all the children from 2 years old and down, that red dragon, the dragon is a beast, means of power, and Roman power persecuted and tried to find that Christ child. We understand that. Rome tried to kill that child when she was going to birth him and bring him who that child was going to rule the nation with a rod of iron, which was Christ. So we know that. And it's the same thing. Every time the Romans, the old pagan Romans, used to have a great victory, they would send white stones to everything to one another as gifts like that, as a memorial. So those stones, what was it? It was little gifts that was sent between the Roman church. Absolutely, exactly, it's got to be. Brother Bram said, and so now the Antichrist has something like a pro and con. It has the perverted way of doing it. And that's the Roman Empire, which sent gifts one to another, natural gifts, but God sends spiritual gifts to his overcomers. The Roman sends natural gifts to one another. When you are an overcomer, and God gives you a gift, the Holy Ghost. Right? That's your victory gift, the Holy Ghost. But the Romans, what they would do when they would overcome somebody, they'd send gifts, and we find out, where is that spirit right there in there when those two prophets are killed? What do? They've overcome them because these two prophets were tormenting them, right? Shutting up the heavens and all the things. And they finally overcome, and they're laying in the streets. And the whole world's looking at it, so it must be our day with television. They're laying there, and they start rejoicing because they've had a victory, and they'll start sending gifts to everybody. Think about it. So, hope I can say this to make it make sense. If you were Antichrist, and you had convinced all your people to believe a lie, and you'd overcome them, and they themselves were overcomers under the same anointing you are, and what do you overcome? You overcome the word of God. You kick it to the side to establish a tradition of man, and you're an overcomer, and you celebrate. Right? You celebrate, and you don't even, maybe you don't even know what, you see what I'm saying? Maybe people don't know. A lot of people could go after these traditions. They have no clue. They just do it. Oh, it's fun time. It's a time to get together. We do all this. But there's an anointing behind it. I was explaining to my Aunt Mary this morning. I said a phrase this morning. I was walking by and I said something to my wife. And the phrase that I said was a phrase that was in a song. And I realized while I was saying it, I was saying it in a way that it was going to come out. And that anointing of that worldly song was going to go forth. And it was going to hit her in her mind. And she was going to have to fight that because it was a song we listened to many, many years ago. And I just instantly caught it, and I ended the phrase differently. Did you catch it? No, she didn't. Good. I was successful. My point is, spirits attach themselves even to a phrase. If you say that phrase the way, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I could say all kinds of them. We catch ourselves doing that, phrases out of movies and stuff. Don't you realize, and we shouldn't do that, there's anointings that go with it. So there's spirits that go behind these traditions. And it's the spirit of Rome. He said it. The voice of God for the age. He said these things.
Right.
See what I mean?
Right.
That this tradition of these things. Listen, saints, I know I was raised in a home where we had that. I know the magical feeling that Christmas was to have the tree and the presents and all the wonderful time. And I have many fond memories of the candy that Grandpa would go get. And there'd be plenty of candy, seemed like, for a month on the coffee table, and I could have all I wanted. I remember all that stuff. I'm not trying to tell you it's not something that feels good to us. But I'm going to have to tell you the truth. It's a pagan tradition that's against Christ, the way they're doing it.
Amen.
It's against Jesus Christ. So if you want me to tell you it's okay, you're probably going to find somebody different, because I'm not going to do it. My wife will tell you that all along, ever since I gave my heart to the Lord, we haven't been doing this stuff. We haven't put up no trees. We haven't had no... I've never told my kids about Santa Claus that he was some whatever. I've spoke against it. And so... I'm not anything great. I'm just telling you, as a minister of the gospel, I have to say what he said. And so that's what I'm going to do. He said it was a Roman tradition and so forth. And so, victory. So now, who gave us this tradition? Who gave us this Christmas tradition? We've already told it, okay? Who gave it to us? We say, well, the Catholic Church. But let me bring it in perspective. In Revelations chapter 18, 17 and 18. That the whore, Mystery Babylon, she gave it to us. She's the one that started it, formed it. So now we're going on having a celebration all these holidays. Halloween, Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day. Look at the commercialism in all of them. You bet you they've become rich through all that. Right? All the merchants of the earth, rich, but just simply off of the holiday. Brother Bram said, you can find it. He said that these merchants said, look, they make enough money just in Christmas time to survive the rest of the year. Rich through what? Holidays? Christian holidays? No. Pagan holidays that some of them, they try to mix Christian stuff to it and call it Christian. And the world, hook, line, and sinker. So the whole world drunk off of the wine of that fornication, mixing different word than the word of God, right? Whole world drunk of that act of fornication that she's guilty of. How do they do it? How do they become drunk of it? And so she's the one that gave it to us, Mystery Babylon. And you know, we could go back and we could look at how they come out of the Garden of Eden and how they went away from the word, and there was a godly seed line and then this other seed line that multiplied and became all these other nations, and how they always persecuted that one group of Israel that stayed true to the word. Even though they had many backsliding, they still stayed true to God. You understand? He was the one God among them. And it was him mainly doing it, not them, but he had to have a people that would represent him. We could look at all that and we could say, what's all these other nations? You have this nation of Israel that stayed with one God, but they go off into believing all kinds of gods. And what was this? Babylon. And you see what happened? They tried to build a tower and he confounded them. And how, so they're all represented in confusion. This belief and that belief and something else and something else. And all in that midst is a forced unity to make everybody come to that way of thinking. When God don't have to force you to do it, if you're his child, you want to do it. Right. And so you look at that and you can say, man, I can see that's Babylon. I can plainly see that. That's nonsense. That's paganism. But when it comes to the book of Revelation and you read this about her, it said, Mystery Babylon. John marveled. Huh. I don't understand this. Because remember, John represented us, represented the church. And so the church did not understand what they were looking at. Why, it's a church. She's beautiful. She's rich. But she's drunk with the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs. Oh, I don't understand that. See? Mystery Babylon. My point is that she's Babylon nevertheless. It's just been a mystery. But now that mystery is being revealed at the end time, when this angel comes down from heaven and his whole earth is lighted with his ministry. It wasn't the little old Joe guy over here down the street that preached and said, I'm a prophet and I'm here to tell you what to do at the end time, and only 15 people knew him. This was a ministry that went around the world. The whole world was lighted with his glory. And what was his message? Babylon has fallen. This church system, they fell from the word. That was his message. They fell from the word. And now, because of it, they're inhabited with every unclean spirit and hateful bird, now is caged up in that system. That was his message. So he's coming down and says, it's Babylon has fallen. And he's identifying and telling us this woman who's fallen, Mystery Babylon, she's fallen from the word. And now that you know that she's fallen from the word, get out of her. Come out of her, my people. Now that you know this. Okay? So what made her this harlot? Well, we know that she's supposed to be the bride of Christ and only true to receive the seed of Christ and him alone. But now she receives all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of teachings, all kinds of religious stuff. So she's a whore. That's a flat word, like Brother Graham said, but it's the Bible, so you forgive me. But she's got daughters that are harlots, which are the same thing.
Right.
And Brother Graham said that them daughters, that's the Protestant churches. So the thing that made her a whore, the mistake she made that made her a whore by receiving something other than the Word of God alone, is the same act that made her daughters harlots. Receiving wrong teaching. Okay? So when you have wrong teaching, when you receive a wrong tradition, when Satan throws something out there to get in the way of God's revelation, what happens when you receive that? You act it out. Now you begin to act out things different, contrary to the word. And so in the case of a tradition, you act out the tradition. You act out the tradition that this Catholic Church has given, right? And you know what? They ain't stupid. Catholic Church, the ones, they know. Okay, they know. Because they'll ask you. But if you Protestant churches, if you don't agree with us, you don't like us, why do you have our baptism? The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? That's what they'll tell you. See? So my point is that we can call ourselves a Christian church, but if we are believing something that was given to us from Babylon, right? There's one road that takes us to righteousness, but many highways to destruction. And if we are receiving and believing and following after anything other than this one narrow highway, that's death trying to work in the midst of it. And if that's what it is, then we are receiving wrong seed.
Right.
We're believing wrong thing and acting out wrong thing. Right? That's exactly what it is. So, the same actions that made her what she is now makes the daughters the same way. And so any Christian church that wants to say, oh, we're Christian, well, if you're baptized in the title of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you belong to the Catholic Church, and they'll tell you that. It's in their own stuff. That's the thing they really want to hook you with. That Trinity. And I've told you how we had to part ways with the homeschool group because they wanted we had to sign a thing, and I wouldn't do it. Right? Saying we believe in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the way I rewrote it to match the way we know it to be, that it was one God manifested in three different offices. They couldn't accept it. They could not accept it. So, if you're a Christian church or a message church and you're holding a baptism that they created, you're a subject of them, you belong to them, and in God's book you do. That's flat, but it's true. If you teach something they teach that's not Bible, then you're hanging to man's tradition rather than the commandment of God. And you're guilty of the same thing the Pharisees was. See what I mean? So when we hang to anything that's not Bible-based, it has no foundation, there's the mistake. Very same thing they did back in that day. Taking man's tradition that Satan had injected in there rather than holding true to the Word of God and saying, I'm going to live with this. And anytime, as I said a while ago, anytime they slide something else in there, somebody else is getting the glory, not God. It's there to take away from God and His plan. It ultimately takes away Him away from you. Right? So the Catholic Church could never say that they have saints that are intercessors as long as they hold this Bible in high regard. So they have to change it. See? Because the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So they can't believe. They have to change that in order to come along and say what they say. They have to do that to make Mary the mother of God, Holy Mary, mother of God, because in this Bible it says she needed a Savior. They have to get away from this in order to be able to push these things. But here's the thing. This mama church had daughters. How is it? We done talked about what made her what she is and her daughters what they are, but how is it that God had children in there? Because He said, come out of her, my people. Right? God had some people that was in her, that's in her, still to come out probably in this day, you see? So what does that mean? That means that God had some predestinated children that they were born in homes that observed these things and believed these things and teach these things. They were born in that. They went to churches that taught these things. They went to school that believed these things. Right? But yet God had a voice of an angel that come down, going to speak, and he's going to say that system has fallen from the word. It's fallen because heaven's high place and it fell. They've fallen, and so now that you know it's fallen, come out of that. So how do you come out? Well, first of all, you don't believe the stuff they teach and they stand for anymore because you know it's wrong. But how do you come out of it? You quit practicing what they practice. You don't let that false teachings, false doctrine, false traditions, or real tradition, but false from God's standpoint, you don't let those things act out for you. Right? See? A lot of people think you can just go along and, you know, God, it is true, a person, what you need is the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you to truth, but that Holy Ghost will set you under ministry that can straighten it out for you and will lead you to a prophet and will lead you to ministry locally that care for you, that will tell you the truth about these things. And so then it's, but what you going to do with it, see? What are you going to do with what is being brought here? So I can say this because I'm bringing it right from an anointed end time messenger, and it's right in the Bible. It's right there clear. So I have no worry about it. I was telling somebody at work the other day, if somebody needed something, and my boss, it was one of those kind of things where I really needed to have his backing on it, because, you know, I know when I can make a decision and don't have to worry about it, but then there's some things I know I better get his backing because this could have some repercussions. And I told him, I said, as long as he gives me approval, I'm all right, we go with it. Why? Because I'm protected. Why? Because I'm just speaking his word. I'm just carrying out what he said to me. So I'm immune. That's all I'm doing, is to tell you the truth. I'm immune. As long as I speak what he spoke, as long as, you understand what I'm saying? Well, as ministers, that's the only thing we can do. And that's all I'm going to do is tell you what he said. I don't need to add something to it. But I do pray and I ask God, God, help me to present this in a way so they catch it, they see it. Because see, you've got to discern that spirit and then you've got to withstand it. So I'm doing what I can to lay it out in such a way so that the Holy Spirit in your life and her presence around you will take this way it's laid out and quicken that word so then it becomes a revelation to you. And then with that revelation, you go out and you fight against that spirit. And you say, I'm not letting it have way in me no more. But just realize when you do that, you're going to be persecuted. But unless you suffer with him, you can't reign with it. That's the life of a Christian, is to suffer. See? But while you're suffering in the eyes from the world and what they do, you're having fellowship with God. Because there's nothing like having fellowship with God around truth. And so, God had children out there in that system that is raised up and has to come out from that. Now, how important is it that we do this? Well, look at her judgment. Look at what's coming her way. And if God somehow could let you stay in that system and judge her and it not get you, he probably would have done it. But since we see the scripture saying you got to come out of it, you got to come out of it. That you receive not of her plagues. Right? So if we still hold their baptism, if we still hold their traditions, if we still walk in some portion of her spirit, have we come out? Good question, huh? And I would say no. We haven't. We haven't. There's only two spirits now, Christ and his enemy, Satan, right? Two kingdoms. And we haven't as long as we hold to them. And so you say, my friends, my family, my loved ones, my co-workers, tradition of man. But now you know truth. What are you going to do about it? Well, if I pull away from them, I'll be. Yeah, I heard Brother Brown talking yesterday, and he said people say, "Oh, I just gotta have a drink, or else I'll lose my social standing." Nonsense. Yeah, if you want to keep your social standing, then keep doing it. But you won't have fellowship with God.
Right.
Yeah? Yeah, he winked at times in past. But for us to know truth and then not to go with it, now it's a different story, see? But remember what I read a while ago, the quote he said, he tied it together, this Christmas holiday and all this stuff. He said, it's the same thing as that the reason why they have these filthy books and vulgar stuff, because there's something in their heart that wants it. Something in their heart that wants to go after this pagan tradition.
Right?
Right? We all love gifts. We all enjoy that. We understand it, and God knows that. But you have to look at and say something made her a recipient of judgment coming. What was it? I want to make sure I don't make that mistake that she made. And so if I hang on to those things, then I'm going to be receiving judgment too. But the believer, they want these vulgar things, and it's the same desire that wants the vulgar things, wants this pagan stuff, because it's not the Spirit of God that chases after that. And he goes on, and I read it. He said, when you get the Holy Ghost, he changes what you want. Right? The Holy Ghost doesn't chase after the things. You're finished with the world and the things of the world, I think is the way he said it. Right? So I read that just a minute ago, and I can show it to you again if you want to see it. And so, you want to know how important it is? Well, just look at the judgment coming her way. So I'm going to go back and kind of point on this again. Anything that gets between the revelation of God and us that stops it is evil. And I heard Eugene Braun, I think he said, anything that hinders spiritual growth, that's evil. That's a good point. Spiritual growth in God, that's evil. Because you could say, well, but I don't see any harm in that. Well, it's not what you think, it's what God has declared, and especially through a vindicated voice, this angel has showed us how to get there.
Right.
And how to keep us in the way so that we can go to the place that God has prepared, which is a body change
right.
for us. He's shown us, see? But if we veer off of this other, well, I just can't seem to stay over here because I don't want to hurt my family's feelings. I don't want to. Who's your Savior? Your family, your traditions, or God? It's flat. I guess my wife would probably tell you that I've never been the kind of person cut, I'm black and white, cut and dry in the fact that when it's an issue that's cut and dry, I don't go for politics and mingling it all together. So this is I'm not going to be the person to tell you to ride over here to the edge of the cliff. I'm going to tell you get up here against the mountain.
Right.
See? Cut and dry.
Man.
And Satan wants us to compromise, but, you know, and I'll tell you what. I really don't know what level of Christmas that is celebrated in this church with people. I don't know, really. I haven't talked a whole lot personally to different ones. But, you know, to be able to say these things, you know, it hurts to have to say it. Because I don't want to hurt anybody.
Right?
Right? But it's truth.
Right.
And to continue to let it go and to not address it, not make sure you know what he has said about these things, well, then that would mean that I probably don't really love you. Because love is corrective.
Right.
And love will spank the child even though they know the child's not going to like mommy or daddy because they did it, at least for a while.
Right.
But the time will come when they'll be thankful for it. And so anything that comes against this revelation is evil. And I'm trying to figure out a way to say it because I'm fixing to read another quote. But I want you to understand that Brother Branham says this same thing in another way. I'll just go ahead and read it. So this comes out of a message called The Deity of Jesus Christ. He said, Brother Ram says, people around here saying that they are of Christ, their church is of Christ, they go to. And he said, what happened last night? Opened up their Christmas presents. Let's see about Daddy. In there was under the Christmas tree of many men last night, set a big box of beer somewhere. No room for Jesus. All for beer. Open up Mama's present, a deck of cards. No room for Christ. You mean Brother Ram had something to say about cards? He did. Because there's something that goes with that. Because remember, he's God's voice to keep you in the way that's going to get you there. So he didn't in this spot, he didn't clarify that, but he says, for Mama, there was a deck of cards. No room for Christ, the cards. That's right, and instead of a little Bible or something to the children, it's a little G-Man book or a little something like that. No room for Jesus. Instead of going to churches, they go to shows and dances and everything and call themselves Christians. Brother, when the deity of God by the Holy Ghost comes into the human heart, it calls out everything that Christ hasn't created. And you know that's the truth. And that's the way he said it. Everything that Christ hasn't created, everything that's not in the channel of bringing truth to you, anything that's contrary to that, the Holy Ghost will call that out and throw it out. He you know, but you got to hear him. You got to listen to him. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you and keep you in the pathway, because this deception that's coming over the world, it's pretty much just about done. But it's coming over them and they don't know it. They're blind, miserable, wretched, poor, naked, and don't know it. But you're supposed to know so that you can be clothed and you can have eyesight. Your eyes have been anointed because we were in that system and he's called us out of it. But we've got to come out. It really, I just don't get it. These message people that put up all these Christmas trees. I just don't get that. Who are they listening to? They're not listening to him. I would say this. If you took the Christmas holiday and you took Santa Claus out and the reindeer out, you took the Christmas tree and all the lights out and all the presents out, you took all the Christmas parties and all the contests of the ugly Christmas sweaters out, take all of that out, where the only thing that's left is Christ, the baby in the manger. How popular would Christmas be? Probably not very popular. Right? But you see what they've done. That's that mark of the Roman system. Paganism. Oh, it feels good because Satan's a master of making you feel good.
Right.
But what about God? What about the Holy Spirit? What about the principles of Christ, of what Brother Tim was singing about in that song a while ago? What about that? And we've been duped and lied to think that somehow we can morph them together and still call it Christ. Well, that's the whole deception to begin with.
Right.
Satan didn't come and say, it's all wrong. He just said, there's only one thing wrong. See? And she is supposed to be Christian, but she's a harlot. So she's still calling herself, still got this representation as a church and so forth, and Christ Jesus. But look, you see what I'm saying? Look at what she is. And so, Holy Spirit will call anything out that's contrary to that. So now I'm almost done. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 30. I've mentioned this many times, but I don't know if I've actually read it. But Jesus says, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. And here's the part I want you to look at. For the prince of this world cometh. He's talking about Satan. He's fixing to go to the cross.
Right.
And let me just expound on it before we finish reading it. Here is the move of the hour. The culmination of everything God did for a masterpiece to bring. Here he is on the scene. Acting out. And they tried to get him to fall to the ways of man. How come you don't do like the tradition of the elders? And he wouldn't budge. Why? Because he was the word. He couldn't budge. Because in order for him to go with their traditions, he'd have to deny what he was. Right? So here he is. He's ready to unfold himself. And he is coming to a climax of what he sent for. And what was that climax? Satan had been given the right to come and do what he was going to do. And when Satan was to come to him, if Satan could have walked up to him and said, you compromised. You went the way of the elders. You belong to me. But the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. There wasn't one thing in Jesus Christ that Satan could lay claim to. Not one bit of unbelief of any portion of the word that he could point to. So Satan couldn't claim him. He could not claim Jesus Christ because there wasn't anything of the devil in him. Now what is the devil? What is Antichrist? False spirit, false teaching, anti-word. If you're just the word, you don't have to worry about anything. But it's the compromise. And you know what? You have the truth before you can ever get to a lie. Right. You have to trample over truth to believe a lie. Do you know a prophet said this? Right? See what I mean? Nobody's going to go to hell and be going, I didn't know. No, you knew. See? All right? But he has nothing in me. And so now I want to present it this way. Here we are. He was that masterpiece, and Satan couldn't find anything in him. And now all that was in him was poured out in his church. 7 ages have went by, and here we are at the end. There's going to be an entity rise up who's going to be today what he was in that hour. The bride of Christ, though, in fried form. And she is it. She is the revival. She is the voice of God now, because that prophet has brought that marriage to her. She's unity with Christ now. She don't need that prophet in the person himself, just the words that he gave to Mary. And now she is that voice of the unity of the word that she's married. And she is that movement. And Satan's been allowed to come. What's he going to find when he gets here? Is he going to find compromise? Is he going to find somebody that loves their friends and their families and traditions more than Christ, the Word? Enough to say, I'll go ahead and express a Roman tradition to those around me rather than saying, wait a minute, let me tell you what it's really about.
Right.
Does he follow me?
Yeah.
He's being allowed to come. What's he going to find when he gets here? Because with if you got something in you that belongs to him, he lays claim on you. That's right. We got to come clean with this stuff, folks.
Amen.
Right? Brothers and sisters, not just folks. I love you. I love my family. They got to tally with this too. And you know what? I hope you don't misunderstand this, but I'm like Jesus Christ. I can present truth to you, but I'm not going to be a tyrant and force you. Right? And nobody's going to stand in this pulpit and force you to do anything, but they're going to tell you the truth.
Right.
And you, by free moral agent, you've got to make a decision what's more important.
Right.
And it may seem like a light thing right now, but I tell you what, come down. You know, each one of us, we've got this future in front of us. And here in just a few minutes, if the Lord doesn't take me off the scene, I'm going to step down off this platform. And that's the next event I'm going to walk, and next event, and I'm going to get something to eat, Lord willing, next event, and I maybe go to work in a few days. And at some point, I'm going to come to an event in my life, and so are you, that's going to be the last event that takes place here on this earth. And the next event after that, I'm going to stand before an almighty God. You too. And it do yourself well to make sure that you're not ignoring that. It do yourself well. I just don't understand. And I know it's just the spirit of the age for people to live in such a way that they don't realize that any moment, like that wreck the other day, that was bad enough that them people like that probably didn't feel nothing. Just a few seconds or a fraction of a second of fear, done. You don't know. Yours could come that way. I knew a guy, I don't remember his name now, the old guy got involved with a sister of a guy I worked with, and a young guy full of life, and he went somewhere on a motorcycle and never come back. Just like that. It happens, see? So there's an event someday, and we hope that last event we have is rapture and we're ready. But between now and that time, Satan cometh, and doth he have anything in you? right? It's not worth it.
Right.
It's not worth it to hang on to something that doesn't testify of Jesus Christ. So when you, whatever you do throughout the day, whatever you do on your phone, whatever you do with your friends, whatever it is, can Christ be glorified in it, or is this something that's actually taken away from him?
Right.
And your minister and this message will tell you whether or not it's taken away from Christ. Because people are so involved in things that has no eternal value, actually has a negative eternal value, if you want to look at it that way. And we're getting further down the line, and so this stuff is, it's always been important, but we want to make sure that we're really seeing this stuff and resisting these things. So we don't want Satan to come and claim anything, nothing to be in us. And so I was reading some different quotes, and you can find so many things, but here's the bottom line of what Brother Ram tells us. Obviously, the lights, the Christmas tree, Kris Kringle, he called him Crinkle. I love it. I love Susie Crinkle, Kris Kringle. I love it, the fact that he didn't know the proper name of a lot of them. That's right. We should be the same about modern stuff. Because we don't tune into that stuff. We're not worried about that stuff. We shouldn't be. See, I love it, the fact that, but the Santa Claus, the Kris Kringle, the reindeer, the all the commercialism and the gift giving and the trees and all that stuff, Brother Branham. You can say, but he said he had one. Yeah, he said, I have a little boy who's still young enough to want one. You know, this piece of paper, you say, look what's on this side of the paper, but you already know that there's another side to it. Nobody has to tell you that. He said, I got a little boy who's still young enough to want one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You mean when the boy gets older, he shouldn't want one because he's going to know better?
Right.
See what I mean? And they run with it. Grown people, more aged than me, Christmas trees, Christmas lights, go berserk with their presence and call themselves message believers? I don't want to have to say that stuff, but you understand. See? That maybe perhaps the gift that God put in my life that I could lay it out there and show you this is what he was talking about. Now, Brother Branham, you say, but I'm going to do what he did. Okay, lie to your tax person. You going to do that? You see what I mean? You follow the voice of the angel. Listen to what he said. Listen to what's on those tapes. Say what's on there. Go with it, and you'll be fine. They're not going with what the spirit of his message was about Christmas. So he would thank people. He said, Santa Claus is here to stay. We know it. Christmas is here. It's here. You can't nothing new to do about it. He said, but one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come. And he'll be here to stay too.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for. Amen. So, Brother Ram tells us, and I don't have this quote, but I was reading it and reading all this, and I could read quotes till 6 o'clock tonight on Christmas-related issues, but Brother Ram said, I don't think it matters to God what day you use to observe the birth of Jesus Christ. Whether it's the 25th or the 26th, or in the springtime. I don't think it matters as long as you worship Christ every day.
Right.
And that's the thing. You got to make sure Jesus is in there. Right?
Okay.
So do everything you can to defy that Roman system by putting Christ back in. Right?
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. And so, God knows that we are but flesh. Right? He understands. He knows all that. But we have to try to walk in the integrity of our hearts. Okay? And so we want to make sure we put Christ in there. And I will say this. Brother Ram preached all kinds of sermons, Christmas sermons, you know, why I had to be shepherds and my little Bethlehem, house of God's bread, and all these different things, right? And he talked about the wise men. He said, isn't it strange, you know, that wise men back then, what did they do? They came to the Christ. But wise men today, they go away from him.
Mm-hmm.
right? Isn't it crazy? And they followed the star. We follow the star, right? We follow it right to Jesus Christ because it's all in Him. But the gifts that were given in that day, these wise men gave gifts. And who did they give them? To one another? To their friend? Who did they give it to? They gave it to Jesus. And the gift that they gave, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gold representing deity, frankincense representing service, and myrrh representing His death, showing that God, deity, came down to be a servant to die for us. Their gifts recognized who He was. Their gifts spoke of Him. So why not, like Brother Bram said, instead of giving your child a Bible, they give him a G-Man book. I may want to look up what that is. I don't know what it was, but that's the first time I ever heard of that. Yeah. But see, if you're going to do it, do something that glorifies God. Right. And stay away from the tradition of the world. Mm-hmm. You can buy games, you can buy whatever all year long for your kids or for your family or loved ones or whatever. But in something like this, let's defy that Roman system and let's glorify Christ in it. Amen. And the best thing that you could do is to give gifts to God to show that you recognize that He is your Savior.
Amen.
Of man. Give Him that. Then if you want to go do something else, fine. As long as you glorify God in it. But let's give Him first. Right? And I'll tell you, ever since I had an experience with God, I do not feel comfortable with the thought of lights and trees and all this nonsense.
Right.
I do not. Right?
Yeah.
So, whatever spirit came on me then, that's the fruits of it.
Right.
See? So God bless you. I love each one of you. I'm not much of one. I say many times for holiday stuff, but I really, as I said a while ago, I really want to go back and bring these points out about what Brother Bram said. It will cover a lot of things that's going to touch every aspect of all of our lives. But I think it's important because I don't want to skip over something that is important. And I think perhaps maybe you don't have to raise your hand and maybe you already knew what you heard this morning. But I hope and trust and pray that you see in a new light how that Christmas should be dealt with as Christians. How this should be handled for what it is. Right? And I pray that you don't forget it. That if the Lord tarries and we got another year down the road and this rolls around again, that you'll remember what this is all about. Amen. So God bless you. Let's let the musicians come. You love the Lord?
Amen.
How many likes truth?
Amen.
Amen. Do you feel like you heard truth today?
Amen.
Amen. It's always good to take a stroll through God's Word.
Right.
Because it'll always help you every time. We thank the Lord for it. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for giving me the grace to be able to speak and present, Lord, what You had on my heart there for today. And Lord, it has been just working on me for a couple of weeks now. And Lord, I just ask God that You would seal it away to every heart, young and old, and help them to realize that this walk is a walk of the cross. But Lord, it's a worthy walk for people. Lord, they might criticize. They will. They'll criticize and persecute. But Lord, just to know that we can walk with You and have Your fellowship and hear You say, well done. Lord, it means more to us than anything else. And we don't want to be different, Lord. And we ask, God, that You just gift us in such a way that we could present anything that we have to present to those around us in a way that it just wouldn't just absolutely just choke them right off the bat, that we could, it would be seized with grace, Lord, and they'd have a willing power about them, and that we cause them to ponder on it, Lord, that perhaps maybe they would gain something by receiving it. We ask, God, that You'd help us. And I pray that You just be with each one as we have these hours and these days ahead of Christmas time. And Your prophet spoke highly of the kindness of the age of Christmas time, how friendly people were, and those things were good. And so, Lord, I pray that you allow us to enjoy those things, and God, that where we could celebrate or worship, Lord, that it would be to your glory, and you'd allow us to do that. But Lord, in the places where we need to take a stand, I'm asking God you'd help us to do so. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We can all stand. So I leave you by telling you that Christmas is a day of worship.
Amen.
To thank God for what he's done. Because it's more about the cross than it was about his birth.
Amen.
Brother Tim's song this morning. So God bless you. We'll worship just for a little bit. If anybody would like to have prayer, we certainly would. We'll certainly pray with you. Amen.